morning we're going to be reading a passage out of 1 Kings, and it's a story about the prophet Elijah. Now, the prophet Elijah, his life makes for very good Sunday school stories and just stories in general, because he lived a very zealous life, and he really lived a very spectacular life. His life is really a series of miracles. God shows up in his life in amazing ways, but the passage we're going to read this morning is kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum, and he kind of finds himself in the dumps here in 1 Kings 19. Elijah is on the run for his life from the king and queen, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and he is ready to give up. Elijah is feeling defeated, and he's feeling hopeless when he looks at his own life and when he looks at the world around him. And so we're going to pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. It's on the screen there. It says, "There he, Elijah, went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.' The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. And a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied again, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.' The Lord said to him, 'Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram, also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him.'" This is the word of the Lord. Friends, our passage this morning begs the question, where do we turn to find God's presence when all feels hopeless and defeated? Elijah finds himself in our passage in a place where he has had enough. A couple of verses before where we picked up in 1 Kings 19, verse 4, it said, "Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said." Where we picked up our reading, we find Elijah out after he had run away, and he's hiding in a cave. And in verse 9, God asks him, "What are you doing here?" And he responds to God, giving kind of five justifications for why he is hiding, why he has run away, why he is feeling so dejected. He says, "God, I have been zealous in my ministry, but it has had no effect. Israel has broken your covenant. They have broken down your altars. The prophets have all been put to death. I am the only one left, and even now my life is in jeopardy." Elijah had lived a life of complete trust in God. And if you want to read some good stories again, and if you're kind of bored this afternoon, I invite you to read 1 Kings 17 to 19. There's some amazing stories in there about the life of Elijah. He lived a difficult but very amazing life. There was times in his life where he was kept alive by food delivered to him by ravens. For years, he survived on a pittance of flour and olive oil, along with a widow and her young son. He had the power to withhold the rain from the nation of Israel. And even in our passage, he is hot off the heels of calling down the fire of God, which burnt the altar he had just built and soaked with water. And yet the ground had just shifted under him. Nothing had turned out the way that he thought it would. There was nothing to show for his work other than his own death warrant from King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And so he feels hopeless. He feels defeated. He feels utterly alone. And I'm sure when we kind of put it this way and look at the life of Elijah this way, we can kind of begin to understand or feel a little bit for Elijah. I think for us to say, it's pretty fair to say for us that over the last 10 to maybe 15 years, our world, our life has very much shifted. Our world does not feel like it once did. Many of us are maybe stricken by an affordability crisis that so many in our society feel, where we wonder, how are we going to pay our next mortgage payment? How are we going to put food on the table or pay for our kids' tuition? These are daily stresses for many of us. We feel fearful and anxious due to the speed of technology. We wonder, where is all this social media stuff going? How is it that I'm in my middle age, but I'm so addicted to my phone? And we understand that even the people creating AI don't understand where it's all going to go. Climate anxiety grips many of our young people. Our summer plans are choked out by wildfire smoke. We have politics that are defined by division, where it takes over people's whole identity and we can no longer even be civil with each other. And we wonder about the church. We love this place. We want to see it thrive, but maybe we wonder, why is it the pews become more and more empty? And then, of course, there's the things in life that has always been there. We feel ourselves aging. Maybe we suffer through health crisis or setbacks. We experience broken relationships. We experience job insecurity, or we experience a loss of a job. It can sometimes be enough to want to say with Elijah, God, I have had enough. But you see, it's into this context, it is into this kind of world that God speaks then to Elijah, and he speaks to us. And what God does is he reveals himself, as we read, through a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper of past, present, and future. Let us remind ourselves of that in verse 11 to 13. It said, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave." I think we can all agree that there is something interesting and maybe mysteriously comforting that God shows his presence in a gentle whisper. And yet, I think there's also something of us that kind of wants God to show up a bit more often in the fire and the earthquake and the wind. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't always show up in the way we want, but he does show up consistently in the way we need. Wine and whiskey are wonderful gifts, but it is ordinary water that sustains life. You see, if we want to know God's presence, we need to first begin by looking at the ordinary. If we want to hear God's whisper, we need to begin by looking back. We begin with the past by remembering. And the first thing we see within our passage is that our actual passage where we find Elijah is actually steeped in the history of God's presence long before Elijah even got there. Notice some of these scripture passages I will kind of read off and ask yourself, do they remind you of something different, of another time? In verse 4 of chapter 19, we find Elijah wandering in the wilderness. This reminds us of Israel in the wilderness. In verse 6 to 8, we read that God provides food and drink to Elijah miraculously in that wilderness, kind of like manna in the wilderness. In verse 8, we read that Elijah journeys for 40 days in the wilderness, kind of like Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. In verse 8, he goes to Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, the exact place where Moses received the law and met with God. And in verse 12, we see that God reveals himself to Elijah on the mountain, very reminiscent of God revealing himself to Moses. Elijah is literally walking in the dust. He is walking in the steps of Israel's salvation history, of the Exodus, of God dwelling with the people in the wilderness, and yet he's unwilling to see it. He wants, once again, the big act. He does not want to find himself in God's quiet, gentle, historical faithfulness. And like Elijah, each of us still today, though, are living out part of God's salvation work, the history of his presence. God's presence was long before we came along. His salvation history within our life stretches all the way back to the very beginning, which includes all of Scripture, which are a testament to God's promise of his presence among his people. We stand in line of God's chosen people to be a blessing to the world, going all the way back to Abraham and the Israelites and Jesus Christ himself and the church. We stand in the history of the saints, the history of the church, a people chosen to be a blessing to the world, of which the CRC is a part of which you here at Willoughby Christian Reformed Church are a part of. We hear about God's presence when we share stories of the church or stories of different Christian organizations we are a part of, where we can get a sense of God's presence in and through it, God's quiet whisper. Each day, we receive God's faithful presence when we wake up each morning, each day receiving the heritage of the day before. The ordinary history of his work in very flawed human beings, you and me. You see, what Elijah was missing, though it was literally under his feet, is that in order to hear God's gentle whisper, to know his presence today, we need to begin by looking back to see his gentle whisper of yesterday. Of the past, to see his faithful hand guiding us on, the way God has whispered and nudged us through the history of our life, to how he has brought us through to today, to hearing about the events and the names of our own past, of how we have been shaped and formed into God's disciples, God's gentle whispers through names of our past. For me, those names include Weba, Art and Wilma, Henry, Anthony, Bridget, Pat, Bart, Martin. Names of people who have, I know, shaped and formed me. God's gentle whispers along the journey. God's whispers in the events and the people of our past that God has used to make his presence known. See, more often than not, God's presence doesn't come and hit us over the head. It doesn't turn over tables and scream at us to get our attention. But like any whisper, God's presence to us is always intimate. And oftentimes, like a whisper, we need to lean in, to pay attention, to hear it. To know my presence, God says, stop and first remember. For God says, as I have been with you in your past, shaping and forming you, so I am today with you now. Somewhere along the lines, our theology about God as Christians has become infected with this idea that God is fickle, that God is one who kind of comes and goes as he pleases from our life. But what we see throughout Scripture and what is the bedrock of our Reformed theology is the total opposite, and that is that God is a God of covenant love. You see, we are assured of his presence today because God has bound himself to us. God is a God of covenant promise. He is near and he is present through his promise in Christ. And there are passages in the Bible which speak directly to God's nearness, which just lay it out plain and simple. Philippians 4, verse 4, the Lord is near. Mark 1, verse 15, the kingdom of God has come near. Matthew 28, verse 20, I am with you always to the very end of the age. But so often, the presence of God in life and in the Bible is actually a much more subtle thing. Five times in our passage alone, it says, and God said, or and the Lord said, or the word came to Elijah. So often it is subtle. It is a whisper, and it can be so easy to miss if all we're looking for is the dramatic. Romans 10, verse 8, which is a quote from the book of Deuteronomy, says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth, and it is in your heart. You see, Elijah runs off to the mountain because he thinks over there, that is where God is. But for us, we need to listen within. For us, the only place we need to run is to our own heart to be assured is that because of his covenant, he is already within us. He is already with us. God's presence is already here inside of us, working continually, always in the background, holding together the story of our life, speaking into and through us. On the one hand, it seems like the most foreign thing in the world that the God of heaven and earth, that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, is part and parcel within us, living within us. But on the other hand, it is also the most common thing in life. For it is part of God's covenant love. It is sealed within our baptism. It is, we are reminded of it. We ingest God's presence every time we come to the table. It meets us and goes with us wherever we are. It is with us right now within the church pew where you sit, but it also goes with you wherever you are. It is with you in the cancer clinic. It is with you at night in bed in the darkness of the night when you can't sleep. It is with you at your desk when you go to school. It meets you by your locker in the hallway. It is with you during that emergency in the ER. It is with you in the doctor's office. It is in your home. It is in your workplace. It is in your residential care building. It is there when we open scripture together and read a psalm. It is there in our times of prayer where we don't have the words to say anything, but we just feel this groan coming up. It is Jesus Christ interceding from within us. The presence of God is there when a friend comes alongside of us in our time of need. And it is right here when we come together to worship. Something special happens here when we gather together as one people. The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart, Paul says. We just need to lean in, to listen, to still ourselves. You see, it's easy when we look at the world around us, kind of like Elijah, and to think we are alone. But as God says to Elijah in our story, he has 7,000 other people just like Elijah who have been faithful. So too today, we can be assured that throughout the world, God is working. In organizations like Samaritan's Purse, God is quietly working throughout the world in all different ways. His gentle whispers going out in thousands and millions of lives, quietly, whispered, sacrificial. God has so enchanted this world with his presence, it is almost commonplace. We look for the dramatic, but it is in the most common and ordinary. We don't feel it because it is through the gift of the Holy Spirit. It has already been endowed into us. It is a gift given from God, sealed up through the blood of Christ. The Spirit has infused it into us. It is part and parcel of who we are as we seek to live a holy life. God's covenant promise, never to leave or forsake you. Which is why then, brothers and sisters, we can have hope for the future no matter what happens. You see, as Elijah finds out, we are part of God's plan, but we are not God's plan itself. Verse 15 and 16, the Lord said to Elijah, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi over Israel and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. God's plan for redemption started long before we came along, which is why we remember God's plan, his presence is being executed subtly now within our own life all around us. And God's plan and presence within this world will continue long after we are gone. It will continue in our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It will continue right here in this building within this church. It will continue on through our offerings and givings to different organizations. It will continue on in the global south and in the global east. It will continue on in the north and the west. Our goal then, in light of this, is simply then to be stewards of God's presence within us, whispering his name, passing along to others who come after us his grace, his love, his story to others. Within our story here in 1 Kings, Elijah's work is coming to an end. So God says to him, prepare the way for others. And so too then our commission is simply to pass down the awareness and the work of God's presence into what sometimes feels like a very lonely and defeated world, but to simply pass down our own stories of God's work, our own participation in his presence, which is why seniors play such a vital role within the church. That you are the possessors of God's stories of faithfulness within the church, within your own life, to pass those down so others can see within your life God's faithfulness. Parents, this is part and parcel of who you are, of what your role is, to pass down the stories of scriptures and the stories of your own faith to your children, to talk about your faith to them. And youth leaders and Sunday school leaders, friends simply in the fellowship hall, in the hallway, we pass on to one another the stories of God's presence in our life. Our call, like Elijah here, is to be faithful stewards simply of God's gentle whisper, preparing the way for others whose fruit and work we will never know about and never see. Kind of reminds me of that old quote, a society grows great when old men plant trees, the shade of which they will never sit in. I think we can adjust that within the church to say the church grows great when its people plant seeds of faith, the fruit of which they will never know about. Brothers and sisters, the world is always changing, and we're going through a time of extraordinary change, fast change right now. The ground is shifting under our feet. But the good news of our text is that the presence of God never shifts. We may shift. We may lose our balance. We may feel defeated. We may feel hopeless and feel completely alone. But the good news of Scripture is that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In our text, the presence of God comes through a gentle whisper. In our world, Christ, Jesus Christ, came as a gentle, humble servant. He came as a lamb to be slaughtered. We may be wanted the conquering hero of fire and might, but he came as a lamb, a king, but as a sacrificial lamb. This is our God. This is his presence. gentle, whispered, "The Lord is near. The Lord is with you." Maybe not with fanfare and flair, but in his steadfast, faithful, ordinary, gentle whisper. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your servant, Elijah. And though he experienced all the same emotions that we do, feelings of hopelessness and defeatedness when he looked at the world, still you came to him with your gentle whisper. And we know that you are with us now. God, we confess it's oddly comforting to read this story, to know that you showed up in this very ordinary way of a whisper. We ask this morning that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear your presence within our life, your presence within this world, as you are present with us. Strengthen our feeble faith and lead and guide us in your paths of righteousness. We ask this in your name. Amen.